The scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The word of God. Well, last Sunday, the title of my message was The Gospel of Isaiah, with the main theme that the prophet Isaiah, who lived some 700 years before Jesus ever came to earth, accurately prophesied what the coming Messiah was going to be like. You see, it wasn't that the Israelites weren't expecting a Messiah. It was that they were expecting the wrong kind of Messiah, and that he was coming just not for them, but for all people. The Messiah who was to come wasn't just coming for them. And the Messiah who was coming wasn't the Messiah that they had thought about for a long time. And it was revealed to God, to Isaiah, through God, what the Messiah was going to be like over time. First, it was revealed to him that he would be a baby boy and that he would be born to a virgin. Not too many were expecting that. And then it was revealed to him that he would fulfill four very important ministries, entitled Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, which we looked at last week. And over more time, it was revealed to Isaiah that the Messiah would come as a servant. And not just any servant, but a suffering servant. The second half of the book of Isaiah describes a Messiah who would be both obedient to the Father, and yet he would experience deep suffering. These are the coming Messiah's words as prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 50. "The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting." Can that really be a description of the Messiah who's described earlier as the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? Well, it would get worse. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one in his or her own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Not only would Emmanuel, be the child who was born of the Virgin, not only will he be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, he will also be a suffering servant who was chastised to bring us peace, to bring us back into relationship with God. Jesus was born to be all of this. So why a baby, why a virgin, and why Mary? Well, there's actually something very significant about all three of those roles. In fact, there is something very significant about everything having to do with Christ's birth in the manger, and almost all of it points to a Messiah who is far different than that which was expected. As I pointed out last Sunday, a feeble, vulnerable baby in the manger is far different than the great military figure that the Israelites were both expecting and hoping for. Nazareth was one of the last places in the world that the Jewish people would have expected the parents of their Messiah to be from. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. And while Bethlehem was sure a lot better than Nazareth in the Jewish people's eyes, it really wasn't much of a town in the day. It certainly was no Jerusalem. It would be like the Messiah being born today in West Liberty, Ohio, as opposed to New York City. Why a virgin? Well, Jesus had to be both divine and human. He was Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he had to be conceived through the work of the Holy Spirit. And a virgin represents innocence. The angel said, the Holy One to be born will be the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 1 says this about the baby who was born in the manger. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. The baby in the manger was God in the flesh, who embodied the exact representation of God the Father, who was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. The virgin birth of Jesus, God with us, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is one of the central tenets of the Christian faith for almost all Christians throughout the world and throughout almost all of history since Jesus was born. The Apostles' Creed, which dates all the way back to almost 400 AD, begins, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his holy Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That was God's and Jesus' divine nature. But then there was Jesus' humanness. That which he needed to experience everything that we humans experience during our life here on earth. The joys, the sorrows, the sufferings, the pain, and even death. The only thing that Jesus didn't do, that we humans do, is sin. And yet he would take the punishment for all our sin upon himself. But this morning I would like to spend just a little time focusing on Mary. Why did God choose Mary? Well, for one thing, she was a young virgin, but there were many young virgins that would have been available to God at the time. And for many years now, I have joked that we really don't know if Mary was the first one that God asked to carry the baby Jesus, but we do know she was the first one who said yes. But the truth is that she was most likely the first one that God did ask, because God knew exactly who he was asking and why. There were certain things unique to Mary's character that made her the right one for being Jesus' mother here on earth. You see, each of us human beings is a combination of the characteristics and personalities of both our father and our mother. And if you're adopted, then you are a combination of the personalities and characteristics of two mothers and two fathers. We need to remember that Jesus himself was adopted by his father, Joseph. Jesus was a combination of the attributes and the characteristics of God, his holy father, of Jesus, his earthly father, and Mary, his mother. A son having the attributes of his mother doesn't make him any less male. It simply completes the design that God created for him to be, which includes the imprint and the representation of his mother as one of his parents. And so in the four gospel accounts of Jesus' life, we find him dealing with people with compassion, patience, kindness, and tenderness. Over and over again, Jesus is found reaching out to young children, which adds to the importance of the Messiah being born as a baby in the manger, showing just how important God values the lives of little children. And he's also found reaching out to those who live on the margins of life. And he reaches out to them with dignity and often with appropriate and meaningful touch. If you've been following the news recently, you will know that we find ourselves today in a culture and society that has lost the meaning of appropriate touch. Mary is described by the angel of the Lord as the one who has found favor with God. And she must have displayed the same similar compassion, patience, and tenderness in her own life as both a mother and as a woman. So if it is true that Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father, as it says in Hebrews chapter 1, then we need to look throughout the entire Bible to see what God is really like. And in a male-dominated world, we often overlook many of the descriptions of God in the Bible, which includes motherly language and imagery. Like further along in the book of Isaiah, where we find the image of God comforting his people like a mother comforts her child. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And in another place in Isaiah, God is compared to a nursing mother who would never forget her child. Can a woman forget her nursing child like she would not have compassion on the son of her womb? Even those may forget, yet I will never forget you. And in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus longs for the people of Jerusalem, he compares himself as a mother hen longing to gather her chicks under her wings. O Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? And those are actually just a sampling of the passages in the Bible that offer God in descriptions and images as a motherly figure. So besides and because the scripture states that Jesus is the exact representation of God, those characteristics are true of Jesus as well. So where did Jesus learn them from? Many of the same characteristics that were true of Jesus, not only referred to in the Bible as the Son of God, but also as the Son of Mary, had to be also true of his mother Mary. Many of the same characteristics that we find in Jesus, we find in Mary, and vice versa. Like, both Mary and Jesus displayed strong courage and were willing to receive a mission that included great faith and hope and trust in their Heavenly Father. When Mary received the mission from the angel of the Lord to conceive and carry the Son of God in her womb, Her response was, as translated in the English Standard Version, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Other versions say, "May your will be done." Those words of Mary are tremendously similar and almost the exact same as the words of her son in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying for strength and courage to complete the mission God had given him to go to the cross and to die for the sins of all humanity. And he withdrew from a stone's throw and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And then the comparison of Jesus and his mother Mary continues. Both Jesus and Mary lived lives of great compassion and consequence, which led to deep pain. Very few of us can escape our life here on earth without experiencing likewise. While Mary was promised by the angel Gabriel that her son would be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, what he didn't tell her was exactly how that might be accomplished. Mary probably got her first clue when she and Jesus' father, Joseph, presented Jesus at the temple shortly after his birth, and the holy man Simeon offered this blessing over her son. "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, it says, "Standing by the foot of the cross of Jesus was his mother." At the cross, Mary experienced the same humiliation, hurt, and pain as her son, Jesus, just in a different way. Mary is at the cross. Never would Jesus' mother leave him nor forsake him, even in his greatest hour of need. And likewise, one of the characteristics of Jesus is the one that reminds us of his continual presence with us as his followers. Jesus promised that no matter what, he would be with us always, even to the very end of this age. Jesus, like his own mother, is with us in our darkest and deepest hours. And likewise, his own father told us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In fact, one of the most powerful scenes of compassion and care that we see mutually displayed in the lives of Mary and Jesus is at the cross. While Mary seeks to be near, comforting and supporting her son, Jesus reciprocates with the same compassion and care for his mother. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. What an incredible picture of love that Jesus displayed towards his mother. At the deepest and darkest hour, while he hung dying on the cross, he had the courage and the compassion to make sure that she was going to be taken care of in his absence. The same love and compassion that he had received from her throughout his life. It's the same love and compassion that helps us to complete our understanding of the meaning of the baby in the manger and the question, "What child is this?" He would be the one who loved others and loved his family to the very end. At the manger, we see the importance of family and the need of both a father and a mother in raising a child. What child is this? Is the child he would grow to be. He was unselfish and sacrificing beyond measure. He was kind and compassionate, extending mercy up to the very end, experiencing pain in the worst possible way. He was the one who came willingly to go through the worst so that we too might become family, accepting the provision through his life, his death, and his resurrection. The child in the manger, that which we celebrate at Christmas, means absolutely nothing without the child's death and resurrection later in his life. For not only was this the child who was born in the manger in Bethlehem, he also would be the firstborn from the dead. And his rebirth gives all people the opportunity to be born again and saved from our sins, just as Mary came to understand. As Christians, every single one of us should be Santa Claus-tophobic. You'll have a hard time finding Santa Claus in the original Bible story. And Christmas has absolutely nothing to do with us exchanging gifts with one another. Christmas is about the gift that God has given us. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Why Mary? Because Mary was one who could allow herself to be humble enough to let all of herself go and allow the Christ child to be born in her. The same thing that God asks of every one of us, not just on Christmas Day, but on every day of the year. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you today once again to celebrate the miraculous birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, which you gave not only to us who put our faith in him, but also for the entire world, that they too may put their faith in him. Not by anything that we have done or could ever do, but only by your grace and your mercy. Help us to humble ourselves like all the original people in the Christmas story, especially like Mary, who said, Lord, may your will be done. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Will you please stand with us as we respond with what child is this? Number 215.
We'll be doing verses 1.